You're not a journalist. What did you say you are?
I'm a commentator.
You're a commentator. And you interview who interests you.
Yeah.
This is a person who is grotesque. And in her grotesquerie, to make up a word, she has dominated the headlines. She's become a huge figure, not just here, but all around the world. Everyone knows who she is. I tell my Argentinian in-laws about, like, I'm interviewing Bonnie Blue. They know. Those are the kinds of things that, aside from any kind of inadvertent activism in my journalism, those are the things I enjoy. I like the Louis Theroux stuff. Mm. I've done 200 interviews now or so for Heretics. A large percentage of them about immigration. Another large percentage of them about trans. And day after day after day after day, I'm sure you must have some of that fatigue of, yes, these are very important topics for me. And they are topics that I go home and discuss with my wife and my family and my friends. And if I'm off air with you, we're going to have this conversation because that's what's on our minds. But what a relief to be able to interview someone about a culture war topic that isn't those two things. Is that a fair answer?
That's a totally fair answer.
By saying it's a fair answer, you are now aligning yourself with those of us who have had her on and getting in trouble.
I'm not going to align because I'm still going to push back. So what did you learn from her?
I learned that I think she's a psychopath.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And also she's someone with a very high opinion of herself, which is one of the signs of psychopathy.
Ironic, given her facelift, right?
Yes. Well, no one knows her age. She says she's whatever age, you know. She says she's in her 20s. People think she's in her 40s. You know, I don't really care too much.
No.
I'm fascinated by psychopaths. Again, not just Louis Theroux, but the John Ronson stuff about psychopath spectrum. These are things I never get to discuss on my show. Mm. So to go face to face with someone and go, are you a psychopath? Someone I interviewed years ago, who I don't believe is a psychopath, was Amanda Knox, the one accused of murdering Italian woman in her. Mm. You know, and I don't think she is a psychopath. But what a thrill it gave me as a journalist to sit in front of her and look eyes into eyes and go, are you a psychopath? Is there anything behind your eyes? I'm in my element doing those kinds of interviews. So I learned I think she is one. She didn't know what psychopathy meant after just lecturing me about how intelligent she is. So that was funny. And I think we did learn as well that something that led her to where she is was potentially not being able to have children. Which I think definitely is part of what you talk about, I talk about, and a lot of our friends talk about, this issue we're having. She's kind of a microcosm for an issue around low fertility rates and low, you know, rates of having children in this country and falling into degeneracy and a country that can't work together. So I think she, as a microcosm for that, especially when she gave up that information and showed a weak point there, was to me absolutely fascinating.
Sorry to make this all about Bonnie Blue, but I actually find this as a really interesting topic of discussion as well.
Exactly.
Because, I've seen a bunch of interviews with her in, just morbid curiosity, right? And she comes across like what a female version of Andrew Tate would be.
Yes.
As in, Andrew Tate weaponizes the most destructive and oppressive elements of masculinity in order to become a huge figure. Whereas Bonnie Blue weaponizes the most toxic and destructive elements of femininity. And I saw an interview, she was on Politics Joe the other day, where she said, well, all of the hate I get comes from middle-aged women. I'm like, I bloody bet it does.
Yeah.
Because they're worried you're going to steal your husband.
Where did I get hate from? Middle-aged women, for platforming her.
Yeah.
So there's also the evolutionary theory, she lowers the cost of sex for women.
Mm.
Women, I mean, we're talking in stereotypes, of course, we're talking about evolutionary biology, okay, and the jury's still out about those things. But it makes sense to me that women over the years, my lifetime, I suppose, in my personal experience, might use sex. And I don't think I'm the first to say that. I'm not talking about my wife. I know, but I think most women, many women would admit this, that they know men want sex more than women do. That is just a fact. I know there'll be some people going, what do you mean, my ex-girlfriend, and so on. Okay, there are individuals. I think
it's the context in which men and women want sex is different. The context is that men want easy access with no commitment. Women want to know that there's a commitment and they're the ones who decide.
So aren't they then giving sex in return for that commitment?
Yeah, every relationship is reciprocal.
Not to suggest that women don't enjoy sex. Of course they do, but I think it's not the same level as men. So,
I think it's contextual, but anyway, it doesn't matter.
Bonnie Blue, though, is of course lowering the price of sex, and a lot of women who may be saying, hey, I'm not giving it, they're then seeing her, imagining her as a member of the tribe, saying, don't worry, guys, I'll give it for free. Well, of course, there's going to be an evolution. There must be a feeling inside women that really makes them go, ah! Not to say that they don't have a point. Of course they have a point about her. But to be annoyed at her, fine. Don't be annoyed at people platforming her. I've seen some ridiculous takes from mainstream people having a go at Julia Hartley Brewer and saying, this is the reason people watch her, because they see her on your show. There is no man, teenager, adult, whatever age, there's no man who's going, gosh, I've just seen this lady on Talk TV, I must go over to one of these websites and see what I can, you know, that is just maybe a woman's idea of, they don't know how disgusting men are.
See, I sorry to make this all about Bonnie Blue, but this is interesting, right? I'm not sure that it's actually on the practical level that the issue really comes, because you're saying, well, you know, she's lowering the sexual market value of women overall by giving it away for free. Another common criticism would be, well, she's interceding in other people's relationships, because she actually said, loads of husbands come to me and they go away happy. It's like, well, yeah, I'm sure they do, obviously. I think what she's doing is actually kind of pulling away a veil, a sort of sentimental veil, that we have on the dignity and prestige and specialness of being a woman. As in, we think highly of women when they think highly of themselves.
Yeah.
And so a woman who will just get into bed with any man, everyone has a low opinion of that woman. And women therefore view her as doing something way worse than merely having sex with men. She's actually damaging and degrading all women with her public profile, with the fact that she's prepared to just give it away for free and become a massive prostitute over it. Like this, this I think is a degradation of all women. I think that's the thing that middle-aged women who rely on this dignity when they're, because women have a lot of social power, and that's predicated on the respect people have for women, men specifically have for women. And if Bonnie Blue destroys that, then these women lose all their social power.
Absolutely. It's not good for any of us. So no. I don't disagree with anything you've said. That's why if you go back
that's
to the
start.
That's
why I platformed her.
Exactly the point. I mean, if I platformed her and said, all right, guys, go and check out Bonnie on her websites, go and see this, I think it's a good idea, that's a different thing. Mm. I had her on and said, what are you doing? She said, I'm helping kids learn about sex or whatever.
Jesus Christ.
Or maybe adults or whatever. But I said by teaching them to choke. You know, I think I held her to, as much as I'm able to do, as someone, as you know, is not very confrontational apart from one or two moments that you've witnessed in the past. But
except when you're defending Byline Times.
Yes. In one specific occasion. But neither are you. You know, you're not that kind of person. And just as you're having this conversation with me, would it not be more instructive? You've obviously made a decision in your mind, one I think is right, that this is instructive and interesting for your audience. Would it not be even more so were she actually sat here?
Possibly, but I do find her kind of gross.
She's gross.
I don't really want to be around her.
Well, so, she looked like she'd showered.
Oh, that's good, but it's not. I'm not physically, as in, I don't think she smells. I think the things that she does is gross. Are gross.
I agree with you.
And the fact that she just views herself as just a piece of meat is actually kind of repulsive.
Having looked into psychopaths before, and they do really interest me, and they obviously interest a lot of people, because outside of our culture war stuff, there's a lot of interest in true crime.
Oh, God,
people
women love it.
Yeah, women do love it.
My wife listens to it all the time.
Well, it's because they're the victims of it, they have to know.
Psychologically, I'm not even going to go down that hole, but go on.
Yeah. just thinking about the line you just said.
Oh, no, trailer, I should have said rabbit hole.
As a trailer for the Bonnie Blue episode that now is going out on Lotus Eaters.
Well, I'm definitely not going there.
No, and nor should you. I mean, what she did is repulsive.
Yeah.
Repulsive, disgusting. One psychopath I spoke to years ago told me that psychopaths don't actually have a sense of self. There's no me. There's no continued I. It's just moment to moment to moment survival. That doesn't mean you plot to kill all your enemies.
No.
You could be a lovely psychopath or whatever. I think one of the key parts of being a psychopath is that you don't get disgusted easily by anything. So for me, I mean, it's an open and shut case. This is a woman heavily on the psychopathy spectrum, and she's done disgusting things, but she just doesn't care.
Yeah, there's
nothing.
There's no feeling. And this is the thing, she's constantly rebutting people saying, I'm not a victim. Why would you think I'm a victim? It's like, yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. I think you don't understand the thing that you've lost by doing the thing you do.
Yeah. And she's what does she earn? A lot of money.
Yeah, exactly. She's got huge amounts of money.
Millions.
So obviously, she doesn't see herself as a victim. So what should happen to Bonnie Blue in a just society?
Why don't you answer that first?
Because I'm asking the question. I did.
I think she's you said earlier, again, for anyone who doesn't know, we've been doing talks and things. You said, misinformation, disinformation, and lies will sort themselves out, I'm paraphrasing, will sort themselves out because people watch enough and they will see who is lying and who is good and who is not. I would like to hope enough people will watch Bonnie Blue and not want to emulate her, but instead go, my God, that is the worst possible thing I could be. And so in that sense, if I'm right about that, maybe I'm being naive, that would be, she's almost a plus for society. She is a paragon of unvirtue. She is the ultimate villain that people should not aspire to.
But she's also worth like 100 times what you're worth.
Yes.
Is that just?
Is your worth about money?
Well, I mean, is it just that the world's most rampant prostitute becomes a multimillionaire?
Probably not, no. It's a good point. Right. Probably not
so,
just.
But these are
so
the
what
difficult...
do you do to affect that?
Well, that's the question, right? And that's why I asked you.
Now I want to know your
answer. Yeah, well, you know I answer.
I know your answer, but
confine
the audience
her
don't.
To a nunnery.
Isn't it get thee to a nunnery?
No, confine her to it, as in...
I thought you were quoting
arrest
Hamlet.
Her. No, no, I'm not. Just literally arrest her and put her in a nunnery and just make her stay there forever.
I mean, you is what... This is actually interesting. I wish I'd asked this. Is it illegal what she does?
No, that's the problem.
Well, maybe that's a step.
I bet if we put it to the 99% of women who can vote, like, you know, I'm sure they're going to be like, no, I agree with that Sargon chap. She's going to the bloody nunnery.
But the funny thing is men are very varied in this. Mm. So there'll be some people watching now going, get me to a nunnery. And there'll be others going, it's an interview. I watched her last night. Or, you know, there's all different kinds of people. By the way, that's not me saying I watched her last night. That's me
sure,
doing
yeah,
an impression
yeah, 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 yeah.
Of a viewer. So, yeah, I don't know what we do. I'm very anti-authoritarian measures. I know that over the years, and you and I have had discussions over the years where my idea of liberalism is being challenged more and more, and I'm seeing the problems with it.
But this is one of those problems, right? So
yes.
I don't like the concept of authoritarianism either, but if we are completely hands-off and utterly liberal about the thing, then we could end up with a society of ultra-rich Bonnie Blues where actual hard-working men and women who are doing the right thing find themselves with hardly any money. And so Bonnie Blues in a mansion going, well, look, she's just been a psychopath like me. That's a real problem.
Well, first you have to be a psychopath, because I think most women couldn't do what she does, even if they wanted to, because it's the most disgusting thing ever. It's physically awful. So most women couldn't... So is there a real danger, you think? Do you think there's a real danger this would lead to a whole...
I don't think every woman or anything like that, but like I think a lot of women will be led down the garden path by her, thinking, oh, I can do this, make lots of money, and then when I'm 30 or whatever, I'll cash out, retire, and get on with my life. And I think instead what they'll do is completely corrupt themselves, find themselves actually not nearly as successful as her, and have basically ruined their lives.
Yeah, I think that will happen.
I think it's a real
risk. I suppose, okay, completely different. This is different, but let's say there are loads of 15, 16-year-olds who want to play football for a living, and they give up everything in their lives to go and do that. They fail. They should really have done A-levels or whatever, and had a fallback. Do we as a society get involved and say, hey, you guys, we're going to not make it legal anymore for you to... Is that not the nanny state?
No, because it's not perverse to try and become a footballer.
So it's the perversion aspect. It
doesn't ruin your reputation. You say, oh, I tried for 10 years when I was 18 to become a footballer and 28 and washed up. So you can go back to school, you can get a degree in something else, you can get a job in something else. Your social reputation hasn't been ruined forever.
So
if you've been
like
an OnlyFans girl, there are loads of videos online of young women who've done OnlyFans who have gone, everyone keeps reminding me all day, every day, I can't get a boyfriend, I can't get married, because no one's going to marry me because of this. Like, yeah, because... This is a moral issue. Being a footballer is not an immoral thing, or trying to become a footballer is not an immoral thing. Becoming an online prostitute, well, it is, and everyone knows it.
Well, I think you and I agree completely about the morality of what she does. I think that's fair to say. We both completely agree. My concern is introducing a morality police.
All laws about morality, though?
Well, are there laws about morality?
Yeah, all laws are moral, but putatively moral, right? You don't instantiate a law of something you think isn't a moral issue. Why would you?
To what extent do we say, I hate these things, but I, you know, is it not?
I mean, the very nature of hate speech laws, for example, are based on the immorality of saying racist things from one person to another, right?
But you don't support hate speech laws.
No, because
I don't
agree with the morality that underpins it. But a law for murder, for example, is based in morality. Laws against rape are based in morality. All law should and is based in morality. The question is just whose morality is it?
but those laws are based on whether other people are seen to have been hurt by a perpetrator. So rape, for example, is an example.
But that, again, that's a moral judgment that you're making.
Okay.
Because, right? I mean, for example, removing the death penalty is also a moral judgment. Someone is definitely hurt by the death penalty, but that's the moral thing to do, in my opinion, because I'm in favour of the death penalty.
But to what extent, I suppose where we're differing here is I come from a background, that, and I might change it in a few years, you know, I might listen and whatever, but I come from a place of what you do that doesn't hurt other people is not an issue for the law. It might be an issue for us to judge and condemn, but it's not an issue for the law.
Interesting. Thanks, Andrew, so much for joining me.
Thank you. What a great chat.
Look forward to people's responses on this one.
I'm going
to
get killed.